this out. All right. So last time we discussed the different reshuyos and the types of mechitzos. In general terms, today what I'd like to do is kind of get into the thicket of it. What exactly are good mechitzos and what is not considered a valid mechitza? Assuming you have an area that is conducive to building an eruv, if it's a karmelis, not a rishus haram deraisa, what kind of mechitzas can be used? And then we'll get into the details of Suras HaPesach, which is where most of our constitutes the majority of our eruvin. So just in terms of, you know, we discussed last time in generally that there are three types of mechitzas. There's a traditional wall mechitza, then you have a tail, you could have a solid platform or a cliff, or you could have the other side of the cliff, which is a severe drop. And you can mix and match. We quoted the Chacham Tzvi last time. You can mix and match even within the same bar of an eruv. You can, or the, you know, wall to, that's constituting a rishus hayachid. You can mix and match between these three different types of mechitzos. However, generally speaking, the Shulchan Aruch says in Shin Samach Beisiv Ches that you need oimed meruba al haparutz. Has to be that there's more walls than breaks. Now you can have some breaks, right? This is considered to be like a house or you know, private domain. You have to have a way of getting in and getting out. So there can be a doorway, and so therefore there can be certain breaks, and that won't disturb the entire enclosure, but it has to be oimed meruba la paretz. If it's paretz meruba la oimed, that's no good. If it's exactly equal, oimed is oimed kiparetz, that's kosher. It cannot be more open than enclosed. Rashi writes himself the Sukkah on Daf Zayin that this is after we evaluate, you need omen move all parts is the entire enclosure. So according to Rashi, in theory, I could have one wall of the four walls, let's say, in theory, that is parutz merubah omed, but only slightly, and then in the other walls I have way more omed ala parutz, in which case it all evens out. So according to Rashi, we judge the enclosure in its entirety. That opinion is not accepted. The Mishnah Berurah writes in Shin Samach Beis Yivkan Mem Hei, each bar of the Eruv, you know, generally, right, that whatever is considered to be one wall, one bar, you know, Eruvin, as we discussed last time, seem to meander. They don't really follow the box or rectangular format. But generally speaking, whatever is considered to be one bar of the Eruv should be Oimein Merubah Laparetz, even... though the other walls are all solid, that doesn't give you any leeway in terms of this bar. Each one independently has to be Oimei Meruba Laparetz. What is considered to be Oimei Meruba Laparetz? So the Mishnah Berurah has a Chiddush here, a big Chiddush, which is mentioned in Shin Samach Beis, which all of these halachas appear, Sifkat and Memhei, that you can have, I gave it to you over here, look at page one of the written diagrams. I apologize again for the crude diagram. Is that I have over here, let's say, diagram Hay. It's a little faded, I don't know why, but diagram Hay on the right-hand column of page one. So if you'll see, that's kind of like an aerial view, as many of the diagrams are, an aerial view of what the, you know, let's say a theoretical mechitza or enclosure could look like, if three solid walls, and then on the fourth bar, you have one omed, one parutz, two omed, then you have three parutz in the middle, two omed, one parutz, and another omed. So the Mishnah Berurah claims that even though you have, right, if you add it all up, you have six omed. Oh, no, that shouldn't be three in the middle. That would be eight. I apologize. Maybe I should write on the board since it's not clear. It should be one omed. And then what is it? It's one parut.
Two, then five.
Yeah. One, two, eight. Two, one, one, all right. That's your the fourth bar. So Mishnah Berurah claims, well, this is omen merubah laparetz, the two and the one, right? That's three versus one. So we view this entire thing as four. This entire thing as four, same thing, because this omen is bigger than this parutz, and the parutz becomes kisasum, so that becomes like four. Now I have four and four. That's equal to the eight parts that's in the middle, the omed kiparis. That's the chiddush of the Mishnah Berurah. So Chazanish disagrees with the Mishnah Berurah on two counts. The Chazanish Simon Samaches or Zgimon the Chazanish. He argues first of all, omed is not when you have omed ruba laparis, that does not make the parts into sasum. It's negligible. It's considered to be an entranceway that doesn't transform this into solid. We don't view this as if it's solid four. This is negligible. So this remains three, and this remains three. Okay, so if you wanted to allow this to continue, you'd have to make this three, right? And then that would be Omen Kaparis. And the Chazanish disagrees, and he says, you don't say Omen Ruba Laparis Mishneit Stadim. The Gemara says, Mesethus Erevin, That's the diagram Dalid over there on the right. That's a little bit clearer. You have 3, 4, 3, 4, 3, right? So sach hakol, there's 9 omed and 4 and 8 parots. So it should have been omed meruba laparots. Yet the Gemara says that that is no good. Why? It's omed meruba laparots. So the Gemara initially suggests, so the Gemara initially suggests, well, maybe because omed mishnei tzadim is not mitzdarif. You can't take omed mishnei tzadim to negate a parots which is in the middle, even though together they're more than the parots. Because, but since you need it both sides, we can't join the two together in such a fashion. That's what the Gemara suggests. And then the Gemara says, no, we have a different reason. It's just mentioned, is because asi avir, the high gisu, the high gisu mavatale, when you have on one side a greater open space than the omed that's in the middle, and the other side is also greater, or at least equal to the omed, or certainly when both are greater, like 4 and 4 and 3 in the middle, they gang up on top of the 3 omed that's in the middle and the mavatale. So the Gemara says, we don't need to say omed mishnei tzadim is not mitzdarif. Maybe omed mishnei tzadim is mitzdarif because of asi avir, the high gisu, the high gisu mavatale. But the Gemara never comes back to the issue of omed mishnei tzadim. So we'll have to wonder what exactly is the halacha there. So the Shaar HaTzion, in Shin Samach Beis of Kohen Lamed, Paskins, that omed mishnei tzadim, mishnei ruchos, you know, can join up together to be mavatale parots, which is in the middle. So you can have, you know, three on one side, 3 on the other side, to be mavatale, 4 in the middle. However, the Chazon Ish disagrees, and he felt the Gemara accepted both of these explanations. Both are valid. It's not that we abandoned the first one because it was no good. That is also a valid argument. So you cannot have omed mishnei tzadim be mitzdarif to be mavatale parots, which is in the middle. The Mishnah Berurah though does bring this halacha shin sam gimel sukkot and kuf memhei about omed asi avir the high gisa the high gisa mavatale. That's where he brings this halacha that you can't have if you have airspace on both sides. They could be mavat, which is greater or equal to the omed, which is in the middle. They could be mavat to the omed, which is in the middle. Okay, some general rules about omed merubah laparetz. You can have a piritz, as we mentioned, because you have to have. You can have a doorway in order to enter into the enclosure. However, most doorways are less than eser amos. So if it's more than eser amos, the Shulchan Aruch writes in Shin Sam Beis test that a piritz a yes and a yes, it disturbs the entire enclosure. We had a big machlekes, which we discussed last time. Is that deiraiso or is that derabanan? And it makes a big deal with regard to the Chazon Ish's suggestion in big cities. Look over here, Ois Aleph, on the right-hand column of page 1. That was just an aerial view, again, of what the Chazon Ish's diagram might look like. You have houses along the side with streets running in between. I always like to picture Amsterdam Avenue with 185th Street. And then you have Audubon and St. Nicholas. So as an aerial view, you would see buildings along the sides, and then it ends at the Max Stern Athletic Center, so you have like a bar at the bottom. So according to the Chazon Ish, this seems to be like Omed Merubah Laparetz, all over the place. And even though you have Asur Rabim, you have Rabim coming through, the Chazon Ish passing low Asur Rabim Avatel Mechitzta, they cannot disturb Mechitzos that are Mechitzos Brios, Omed Merubah Laparetz is a Mechitza Bria. Ah, but you have the streets running in between, that's a Piritz of Yes Meyes, so they're way wider than Eser Amos. So how can we solve that problem? The Chazon Ish assumed Piritz of Yes Meyes is only Dinder Rabbanan. And therefore, Turis HaPesach, whenever the requirement is only for a Turis HaPesach, so Amid Rabbanan, a Turis HaPesach can solve the problem, even though you have people, traffic going through. Those who disagreed with the Chazon Ish, Ramosha and others, felt that Piritz Yes and Yeser is a Din Midday Raisa, and therefore, a Turis HaPesach does not work to solve that problem. It would be like being Ma'arva Rishus HaRabim with a Turis HaPesach. We would say, Asu Rabim, Umavat L'mechitzta. They argued even further. This is, and I think that this is there's a compelling part to this argument, is that how can you even get off the ground with Omid Merubah Laparetz? Once you say Piritz Yes Meyes is Deraisa, the two sides don't even join up because there's a Rishus HaRabim in between. So Chazon Ish said, no, there's no Rishus HaRabim in between because the two Mechitzas on either side. They said, no, the two Mechitzas on either side never join up because of the Rishus HaRabim in between. It's kind of like a cyclical argument. But that's one of the main issues that you have with regards to this issue about the suggestion of the Chazon Ish is Piritz Yes and Meyes Dimidaraisa Dimidarabanan. Rav Shefker assumed, he inferred from Rav Moshe's tshuva about toll booths that Rav Moshe discusses, can we say Asi Avir the high gisa mavatale in order to make a Piritz Yes and Meyes? Rav Shefker was discussing, right? I don't know if he's on the thing over here.
If you just picture a toll booth, they're disappearing now with cashless tolling, but you have a toll booth, right, and then a lane that goes through, and a toll booth, a lane that goes through. So do we say Asi Avir the high geese of Mavato this in order to, and then, but you might have, in a toll booth, but you might have enclosure along the sides. So would you say, well, this is Asi Avir, the high Gisa, the high Gisa, Umavatra, in order to make this into a Pirati Yasmeyasa, so this might only be 9, this might only be 9, but this will be 8, in order to make it into a Pirati Yasmeyasa, Ramosh assumed not.
So Shachter felt that that was an indication that that Asi Avir, that Ramosh was of the opinion Pirati Yasmeyasa is only the Midrabanan. Rav Shechter though is machmir on this shayla that you cannot have osi avir the high gisa even if it will come to create a pirtza yesem yesem. You would think where does this ever come up? We had this shayla in Pesach
when I was involved in being. We don't have it anymore. When I was involved in being masak in the eruv, we had this is terrible. But they were using the front of people's houses as a mechitza, which is a really bad idea because that means their backyard is out of the eruv. But they were doing it because the houses are close together. Right, so if you do run the houses close together and there's less than 10 amos in between the houses, you can really jump from the front of one house to the front of the next house to the front of the next house. It's bad because these people think they're in the Erev and they're really not because their backyard is out of the Erev unless it's fenced in. Akitzamaisa, we had this, but there was a row of hedges in between these two houses. But together, it was more than 10 amos. The only way it was less is because you had this row of hedges in between. The problem is, you should have said, Asi Avir, the high geese or the high geese, so umavata way, in which case this makes this whole thing into Pirtzi Yasmei Yasser, and so, you know, that disrupted the whole area. So we had to reroute it to avoid that problem. That's, this in theory could come up, yeah.
How does the initiatives model work when buildings aren't lined up precisely?
Why?
Because my understanding is that we assume there's a continuity from one set of buildings to the next block of buildings, but when they're not lined up,
therefore,
are they still considered connected?
Yeah, still we consider connected. We'll get to your point in one second. Let's get to Pistol B'Karen's office, which is what you're asking about. So how do you solve a Pirtzi Yasmeyasa? So let's say I have in my area we have a fence, and then there's a break of more than 10 amos. So they... The Rambam's opinion was, as quoted in Shulchan Aruch, Shin Samach Beis Sif Yud, that a Tzuras HaPesach does not work for a Pirtzi Yesem Eyeser. That's only, though, if it's Parutz Merubah La'omed. If it's Omed Merubah La'Parutz, with real Mechitzos, then the opinion of the Rambam would agree you could have a Tzuras HaPesach for a Pirtzi Yesem Eyeser. It's only when you can't rely on, according to the Rambam, you cannot rely on a Tzuras HaPesach for a Pirtzi Yesem Eyeser if it is Parutz Merubah Al ha'omed without this tzuras ha'pesach. I mean, this tzuras ha'pesach, if it's parts of the you ask, how can you carry that? The answer is the tzuras ha'pesach is going to solve the problem, but it needed to be omed rubal parts without the tzuras ha'pesach. The Mishnah Berurah recommends Shin Samach Beis of Kon Nun Tes to be machmer for this Rambam, which is why Rabbi Shechter doesn't carry in most Erevin, not because he doesn't trust his, his psak halacha, but because he's machmer for this Rambam. He doesn't impose that on the Erevin that he's involved with, but he treats it as a chumrah. Because of that, he's machmer. But because of this Rambam, he's machmer not to rely on Tzuras HaPesach, where without the Tzuras HaPesach, it would be Paris Mubal Omed. Only way there'd be Omed Mubal Paris. You have real walls, which in Manhattan and the city, however many problems are created by building Erevin in the city, there are some advantages, and that is you have a lot of real walls because we're using buildings and things, so as opposed to just relying on Tzuras HaPesach. In Chabad, there are also machmir for this Rambam, as was the Shulchan Aruch HaRav's practice was. But in order to solve the problem, they just, in the camps, the Chabad camps, they make poles every 10 amos. So you never have a Tzuras HaPesach that's Yeser Meyeser. However, the Chazon Ish, as well as Reb Chaim in the Sefer on the Rambam, comments about this Rambam, and he explains what the Rambam means is not that every Tzuras HaPesach has to be less than 10 amos, unless it's Omid Ruba Laparetz. What he means is you can't rely on the institution of Tzuras HaPesach for a duration of more than 10 amos unless you have real walls that are Omed Merubah LaParetz. But even if every Tzuras HaPesach will be less than 10 amos, that's still not good enough to solve the problem because you're relying on the institution of Tzuras HaPesach for more than 10 amos, and that's what the Rambam has a problem with. Okay, be that as it may, we're generally not machmir for this Rambam, so we're going to solve every Pirtzi Yesem Eyeser with a Tzuras HaPesach, unless, of course, it's a Rishus HaRabim. Another limitation, Omer Ruba LaParetz, is number one, Pirtzi Yesem Eyeser. The other one is you can't have a Pesach B'Karen Zavis, as mentioned by the Shulchan Aruch over here, Shin Samach Aleph Sif Beis. You can't have a Pirtzi B'Karen Zavis. What does a Pirtzi B'Karen Zavis look over here on the diagram of page 1, diagram Beis? Again, an aerial view. It's only considered to be a Pesach B'Karen Zavis if it's Oichel Mishnei Rosheha. If it's missing on both corners, Rabbi Shachter calls it a caddy corner. If it's missing on both corners, that's a piss. He claimed in Paramus, many backyards were arranged this fashion, that they were missing on both sides of the both walls, and that would be that of course is a serious problem. If it's like, if there are four diagrams over there in diagram base, if it's like the bottom right one, that's not a problem at all, because that's not Oichol Mishnei Rosheh. It would only be if it's actually Oichol Mishnei Rosheh. How could you solve the problem? So you could build a Turis HaPesach. Oh, that's one possibility. Or you can put a pole in the corner. This was a suggestion of the Chazon Ish. That's the bottom left diagram. If you just put a pole there, so now it's no longer Oichol Mishnei Rosheh. You're missing a little bit on the one bar, you're missing a little bit on the other bar, but you have a place to stop. So since there's a pole there, that kind of, shows where the wall ends, and it's not considered to be Oichol Mishnei Rosheh, and it's not no longer considered to be a Piskah B'Karen Zavos. What about if you're dealing in a larger Eruv? So does that mean every time you have buildings that go on a corner and one building is here and one building is here, that's considered to be a Piskah B'Karen Zavos? Rabbi Shechter argued no. He argued that we have to look at an aerial map of every Eruv and kind of figure out, it might be five corners, but, more or less put it into a rectangular shape and figure out where the Eruv, generally speaking, switches directions. So if, let's say, though, we're traveling down Autobahn and we're jumping from one building to the next building, the next building, the next building, even though there are lots of corners, that's not considered to be Episcopal Karen's office because we're just basically moving down Amsterdam Avenue. It would only be when the Eruv really switches directions, which I think was your point. Yeah.
In those streets, when you're skipping over, do you need a Tzuras HaPesach in between the streets, or
if it's more than Eser Amos, yes. If it's less than Eser Amos, according to Rabbi Shechter, you don't. We're going to say that we're going to see that there are those who machmir have no breaks in the air, and we'll have to explain why. Look at diagram Gimel.
There doesn't have to be it can be a mashahu in between, right?
You have, of course,
up to an amo, I think it says, right?
Yeah, up to way more. Yeah, love it for sure. Oh, even more than
Lavid.
There's a minimum shear. The Mishnah Berurah discusses what is the minimum shear. Is it four tefachim? Is it six tefachim? The Mishnah Berurah quotes a few opinions about that.
I think there's also opinion about one amma, right?
One amma. The Mishnah Berurah has a few opinions. What is the shear of Episcopal B'Karen Zavos? Yeah. Right there. Shin Samach Alf Sabbeis. But look over here, diagram Gimel. Rabbi Shechter argues this is not a Piskah B'Karen Zavos. You won't find this in the Mishnah Berurah. He derived it based on different halachas. Neither one of these diagrams will be a Piskah B'Karen Zavos because, again, we're going in the same general direction. It's only a Piskah B'Karen Zavos when we start switching directions, which I think was the point that was made before. What if you have a Tzuras HaPesach once we have it and we're trying to figure out whether we have Eimei Merubah L'Paretz? Should the Tzuras HaPesach be Oimed, or is the Tzuras HaPesach just make the area that's in between negligible? It doesn't disturb the rest of the enclosure. It doesn't become Parots, but it doesn't necessarily become Oimed. So Rabbi Shechter quoted that was a suffix that Gaon Yaakov has. And this is discussed by the Bir Halacha, Shin Samach Gimel Siv Vav. That's why it's on the Mar Mekaymis. And he brings it as a machlok between the base of Ephraim and the base Shlomo. That's quoted by the Bir Halacha. So generally, we're Mako on that the Tzuras HaPesach is considered to be Oimed. So if you have, let's say, I have a whole bar of an Erev, a Tzuras HaPesach, and then I have a break of six Amos, then that's Omen Merubah L'Paretz. However, there are those who are Machmer that no, the Tzuras HaPesach just makes everything negligible, but it doesn't count as Omen, in which case I could have 1,000 Tzuras HaPesachs all in a row. If I have six Amos in between, that's Paretz Merubah L'Omen. So that's why in the Erev, where most of the walls are built out of Tzuras HaPesach, there are those who are machmir not to have any breaks at all. Because if the Tzuras HaPesach is just negligible and I have one break of six amos, that makes the whole thing Paretz Merubah L'Omed. So that's one reason. There are others. That's one reason why most people outside of, when Rabbi Shechter is not involved, are machmir not to have any pirtzis in the Erev at all. I believe in the Mount Sinai Erev when we saw it, there are no pierces, again, because they're machmir that for this, and as we'll see, for something else also. We discussed, a tail, we discussed the mechitza, we discussed the charitz. What if you have what's known as a tail hamislake, which is a hill? And it's very tempting for our Rabbanim community to use tail hamislake because it's free, right? And it doesn't cost any money, and there are a lot of communities that are hilly have this. So this is considered to be a mechitza, it's true, as long as it has the proper angle, which is the diagram over here, Ois Ches on page 1, diagram Ches. If it's Oimed, if it goes up, Eser Tvachom, Mitoch Dalet Amos, so then that's a kosher mechitza. There's a suffix if the Dalai Lamas is the hypotenuse, or the Dalai Lamas is the bottom part of the triangle. But either way, it doesn't make much of a difference. These are not ideal mechitzos. When I'm involved, I encourage people not to use these for a whole bunch of reasons. The first is this changes over time, right? It could rain over years and things, and people don't go back to change to check this. It's also very hard to make sure that you have the proper angle. You need a complicated equipment. Obviously, if you have a cliff, there's nothing to discuss. But if you have a hill, it's hard to figure out. It's not easy. You would need surveying equipment to really figure out whether or not you have the proper angle, unless it's absolutely obvious. And these things do change over time. And people are likely not to go back and to check them, which is why I don't like people relying on bushes either. That's what I always call it. I call it Bush League, if you know what that means. You don't build an air of that the community is relying on. If you're building your private house, fine. But a community to rely on bushes is not great, because people take bushes out all the time. They remodel their landscaping, and they don't bother informing the community Erev board that they did that. And people rarely ask the Erev checker to go back and check people's lawns and hedges. And the other, I'll get to your question in a second. The other problem with bushes often is, if you look over here at page one, diagram test, you'll see you cannot have a mechita that's raised, if you can see. I'm sorry, it's a grainy photo, but you can see that the fence is raised off the ground, 3 tefachim, that's known as a mechita tluya. A mechitza tulia, raised mechitza, is no good because the goats can go underneath it. And oftentimes in bushes, look at diagram Yud, you'll have, even though there is lovewood, when you get to the thick part of that like row of corn stalks over there, so there is lovewood, in the middle of it, there isn't lovewood when you get lower towards the bottom. If you examine, once you go in Erevin, you look at everything differently. Looking at telephone, I'm driving, my wife is saying, what are you looking at? And I'm looking at telephone wires. But when you look at hedges, you'll notice, you probably didn't before, that the bottom of a hedge is very sparse. Once it gets higher and the branches branch out, so then it gets a little bit thicker. But that might be more than 3 tefachim off the ground. If that is the case, then that is a mechitza tluya, and it's no good. It would have to be more similar to diagram Yud Aleph, which is solid all the way down, which a lot of times, even privacy hedges are not that thick. So that's why I think relying on bushes. Yes, it's true. You look, read in books. You can do that. I don't recommend it. Yeah.
How would a tilm sake be used in theory if it were you're not in a valley, but it's only on one side of the community? How would you bridge around the rest of it?
That's the other problem, which I don't want to get involved in because it's a technical matter. A shefta quotes a Beis Shlomo. Should you join up the rest of the air with the bottom of the tail? Should you join up the rest of the air with the top of the tail? And there might be a big difference between the two. And then what's the status of the area in between? It becomes very complicated. You have to be a Grois Lamdan to use a tail in this lake. And usually the people who are using it are not the Lamdanim. Yeah.
Also, the tail in this lake, like the hill between Broadway and Wadsworth Avenue,
right. Right.
Assuming that it's steep enough.
Right.
It only lasts, this hilly area only lasts a few blocks.
Right.
You have to use other types of machitzas.
Right.
Once you finish with the hilly, with the hilly blocks.
I'm not excited about them at all. Okay, there's another type of machitza called a tikra, which is we visualize the roof as if it's descending. And the Shulchan Aruch brings this in Shin Samach Aleph Sif Beis. But in order to apply pitikra, to have the roof project downwards in order to constitute a mechitza, you have to have already some mechitzas present already. How many mechitzas do I have to have below in order to view the roof as visualized as if it's coming down? So that we paskin in the Shulchan Aruch, you need 2 mechitzas at a right angle to each other. If you have 2 mechitzas at a right angle with a roof, then I can visualize the roof as if it comes down to enclose the rest of the area. If I don't have 2 mechitzas at a right angle, then we can't visualize the roof as if it's coming down. This is why most people, when they go to Pesach programs, I cannot tell you how many times I've been asked this, and they put something outside in the back of the hotel, and there's no air in the hotel, but there's a roofed area. Everyone asks, well, why can't we rely on Pitikra of Yerev Sosim? You can't, everyone learn one daf and Erevin or something. You cannot do that. You have to have Mechitzos at a right angle already in order to apply Pitikra Yerev Sosim. And even then, the Gemara says in Mesechus Erevin, if it's Nifrats, Bekeren Zavis, Vekiruy of Balachson, if it's open in the corner and the roof is at an angle, you cannot say pitikra. What does that mean? Nifritz v'keren zavitz v'kiruv balason. So this is quoted by Shulchan Aruch, Shin Samachav Sevbeis, quotes the opinion of Rashi. But what it means is, if you turn the page 2 of the diagrams, I'm sorry, this is really crude, but diagram Aleph. So Rashi says, see, the roof is at an angle. It's a pitched roof. A pitched roof cannot be used for a pitikra yard v'sosim. It has to be a horizontal roof. So you can solve the problem, Mishnah Berurah says, the Sifkat and Yudawit, by building an eave underneath the pitched roof. Yeah. That is horizontal. You can solve that problem. Taisus though has a different explanation of what it means, the Kiruv Balasim. What it means is below, you might have mechitzas at a right angle, but where am I applying pitikra? I'm applying pitikra in the corner of the enclosure. So it's literally like a pisca of a Karen Zavis. We don't say, that could be an opening in the area that disturbs the entire enclosure, even though it's less than Eser Amos, because no one builds a doorway in the corner of a house. It's an unusual place to build a doorway, so we can't visualize an opening in the corner of an enclosure to be a doorway. It's a pisca of a Karen Zavis, so we don't say Omi Rubel Aparet. So too, even if you have a roof that continues to go over this in a rectangular shape, I cannot view mechitzas coming down when it's in the corner of the enclosure. Why not? And the Shulchan Aruch quotes this opinion too. Shin Samach Aleph Beis, the Shulchan Aruch quotes both that of Rashi and that of the Tosfos. These two limitations are particular. It can't be in the corner, and the roof has to be horizontal. Why not? Why can't it be in the corner? So the Steipel explains to the Kilos Yaakov, Reshechta alluded to it, because there's two perspectives on Pitikra Yerav Desayism. How does it work? According to Tosfos, it seems to be that when I have a roof above it, right, so that renders the area that's below a doorway. So if I have, let's say, a bus stop with two mechitzas at a right angle and the other two sides are open, if I have a roof over that, I don't view that as open. I view that, as a break in the enclosure. I view that as a doorway to get into the enclosure, but since I have a majority that's enclosed already with the two mechitzas on either side. But because of that, if it's on the corner, if it's at a corner of the enclosure, how can I view a corner as a doorway into what's beneath it? Because a pistol of Karen Zev is a lot of the inchi. So therefore, Tosfos claims that you can't apply pitikra there either. Pitikra, all that does is it doesn't make a pizza and we visualize it. If it descends, it makes the area that's beneath it into a doorway. A Pesach, and I can't have a Pesach, a Pisco, a Karen Zavis. So in this diagram base also, if you'd have a roof that parallels the walls that are there, you couldn't view that roof coming down as enclosing what's beneath it because it's viewed as a Pesach. Rashi understood Pitikra Yerav Desayism in a different way, says the Stipler. He viewed it as a little bit of a mechitza above. Well, then that's enough to get us started like a spark, and that can help us visualize the rest of it coming down. More the traditional approach to Pitikra. Not that what's underneath it is considered to be a doorway, but it's the beginning of the mechitza, we can visualize this coming down. That's why Rashi felt that the roof has to, we don't pasken this way, but the roof has to be a tefach thick. Because then that's like enough to get me started, and then I can visualize the rest as if it's coming down. So that's why Rashi also felt, though, in this part we do pasken like, that the roof has to be horizontal. If it's vertical, right, if it's pitched, so then that's not enough of a mechitza to get me started. If it's like this, then there's some thickness here. I can visualize that as the beginning, and it comes down. Tosfos held l'shitasoi that therefore I can't say pitikra yod v'soisim to a wall that's more than Eser Amos. Even if I have two mechitzos, but this side is bigger than Eser Amos, more than 18 feet, I can't say pitikra yod v'soisim because, again, pitikra just works to render the area that's beneath it into a doorway. And people don't make a doorway that's longer than Eser Amos. That part of Tosfos, though, even though it fits within his sheet, and we do accept part of Tosfos, but that part of Tosfos we do not accept. Please remember that. Tosfos writes, the Shulchan Aruch writes that you can't have pitikra right over there, you can't have pitikra even for an area that's more than Eser Amos. In order to apply pitikra, the area that's below it, the tikra has to be dialed tfachim by dialed tfachim. Again, that's what a Rishus HaYochid, the minimum dimensions of Rishus HaYochid. You do not say pitikra yod v'saisim unless the area that's beneath the roof is dialed tfachim by dialed tfachim. The Ramah quotes this at the end of Shin Men Vav, Sif Gimel, that's why even if you have, again, back to our discussion of porches and keys from the last time, even if you have, let's say, a stoop, a Brooklyn-type stoop, and you have a awning that extends over it, so I can't render the area that's beneath it as a Rishus HaYochid because of pitikra yod v'saisim. One reason might be because I don't have residual walls around the stoop. But even if the stoop is raised, 10 tefachim, in which case I probably do have residual walls around the stoop, so no one should fall off, I can only say pitikra yod v'saisim to close off the fourth side, where the stairs are, if the area of the stoop is 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim. Most of the time that will be the case. It's not so big, 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim. But the Mishnah Berurah quotes from Mordechai, Chumrah, since there are some porches that are not, there are some stoops that are not 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim, we don't rely on pitikra ever to enclose a stoop, because we're afraid you'll come to enclose an area that is less than 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim.
Did you say that you cannot use pitikra in an area that's more than Eser Amos?
We don't pass. Tosfos says that we don't pass in that way. It fits within Tosfos's shita and his lamdas, and we do accept part of Tosfos, right? That it can't have a, I can't be a roof that's in a corner, you know, where it cuts off the corner because they don't build a doorway in the corner. But we don't accept this extension of Tosfos. Yeah,
with the overhang, right. Even if it's only one wall, that would still work. Even if it's not within two walls.
A stoop, you typically have one wall of the door where you're walking into the house, right? Picture your attached house in Brooklyn. Right? You have that door. Then you have probably a fence on either side of the stoop. If you can picture the same type of thing. It doesn't. It doesn't have to. As long as it's 10 tefachim tall, that's fine. We say good asik mechitzta. So, but even if I have an overhang, but the Mordechai said some stoops are less than 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim, you shouldn't rely on pitikra yad v'saisim. There, because you might come to, even if yours is, you might come to a wide in a situation when it's not. We only say pitikra yad v'saisim to enclose the area that's beneath it. So that's why Rav Moshe had a chumra over here. This is based on a Gemara Masechta Sukkah. We'll get to page 2, diagram Gimel. I'm sorry if it's unclear. Rav Moshe drew it also. I don't know. The Inbal has a Sukkah that's like this. But you have. You have walls around, or you might have stayed in like a hostel in Yerushalayim like this, that has walls that go around, apartments that go around, and then there's a roof over it. And then they, in order to build the sukkah, they put schach in between, you know, the roof of the walkway that goes around the different rooms that are on the side. So if you look at the diagram, those little compartments are rooms along the side. Then you have the tikra, which is the roof to protect the people coming out of their apartments. And then there's that the middle open space where you're going to put your schach for your sukkah. So the Gemara says you can only do this if it's within 7 amos to the walls. You can't, if the tikra is less than 7 amos. If the tikra is more than 7 amos, you don't say doif and akuma, and your sukkah has no walls. Why? Why can't I view the edge of the roof as pitikra yod v'saisim, assuming that you don't need already walls beneath it to say pitikra? There was one opinion you could say pitikra on all four walls. If I just have a freestanding roof, you could say pitikra yod v'saisim. So within that, we don't pass it that way. But according to that one position that it could say pitikra, even if it has no walls, why can I say pitikra from the edge of the roof and view that it go down, and that'll be the walls of my sukkah, and then put schach at the edge of the roof over the middle area? So the Gemara says that is no good. You only say pitikra yod v'saisim to enclose the area that's beneath the roof, not the area that's outside of the roof, because that's not what the roof is serving. So the edge of the roof can't serve its particular yod v'saisim to create walls for the sukkah. So Rav Moshe said that applied this to the elevator train. The area of Manhattan used to be built with an elevator train. You can find a map of this. I'm sure you can find it online, but in the history of the Manhattan area, there used to be an elevator train that ran right through the Lower East Side. So over here, diagram Dalid. Let's say you would have three walls around the city, and then you'd have your train tracks, which is the elevated train tracks, which had a roof, created, or the tracks itself created a roof for that which was below. So they wanted to use the edge of the train tracks, since they already had real walls for the three walls, mechitza walls, to use the edge of the train tracks as a pitikra yod v'saisim for the fourth side. So Moshe said they couldn't because the train tracks was not there to enclose the city, it was there to serve the area that's beneath it. So even though you can't use the closest side of the train tracks, because that was used to enclose the area that's beneath the train tracks, not the city, but the far edge of the train tracks, that's what everyone argued with Ramesha, that you can use. So that's meant to enclose the area that's beneath the train tracks. If we include the area that's beneath the train tracks in the Eruv, then I can include the far edge of the train tracks can serve as a mechitza for the area that's beneath the train tracks, and then in lieu of that, an extension of that can serve as a mechitza for the city too. So in order to solve the problem, you just include the train tracks within the Eruv, and then that would solve the problem. Another type of mechitza is a lechi, which is mentioned by the Gemara in Eruv and Yebez and Mebez. Lechi is considered to be a mechitza, which is just one pole at the edge of the, an opening. Let's say you have three walls and the opening here, I just put one pole there. That would be a lechi, it's good mechitza midaraisa. Midarabanan, we don't align it in a chatzar, only in a mavoi. Why should we distinguish in a chatzar and a mavoi? The Mishnah Berurah explains in Shin Samach Gimel Sifkan Kuf Bez in the name of a Truvis HaRajba. That is because a mavoi, what is a mavoi? Here, I gave it to you over here, diagram. Hey. You have, I guess, like a I like to compare it to developments in Florida as are created this way. You have like a chatzer, again, is of a courtyard that serves for houses all around it. So sometimes you have houses all around it with, or bungalow colonies are like this, with a circle in between. And that circle is a common area for the people who have adjacent houses. Then you have circle A, circle B, circle C, circle D, right, of your bungalow colony. And then you have the communal road, or where in Florida would be the clubhouse, right, that's open to everybody. So that's the chatzer of the chatzer. The courtyard of the courtyard, that's the mavoi. So people would do less private activities, hopefully, in the mavoi than they would do in the chatzer. In the chatzer, you know, I might walk around in my shorts, my bathing suit. Then you get to the mavoi already, there's people I'm not used to seeing so often. I'm going to do that. I'm not going to hang out my laundry in the middle of the mavoi. Since you do less private activities, the Rashba says, well, the mechitza that you need in order to be mata tiltel there is also less severe. Because it's not as private. In the chatzer, where people do more private activities, then you need a heavier duty, you know, a heavy duty mechitza. That's not enough for the lech. You need something more.
But by a chatzer, you can use a pastal though.
There are other heterim, yeah, but not a lechi. Not a lechi. That's why. So the Ramadan writes in Shin Samach Gimel Sif Chavav that we don't have the status of a mavoi anymore. We don't have mavus. We don't have this entire arrangement of housing anymore. So everything has the status of a chatzer. So therefore, everywhere you can't use a lechi or a korah. Everywhere would require something more substantial. Why don't we have this anymore? So Mishnah Berurah explains, Sifka and Kufyadav, because our houses don't open up to chatzeros, and the chatzeros don't open up into the mavoi. We don't do private activities outside anymore at all. We don't do private activities outside anymore at all. So Adarava, women, if we don't do private activities outside anymore at all, we don't have the status of chatzer anymore. That's why the Chazon Ish felt, even in the times of the Gemara, you could light your Chanukah licht in your chatzer. That might have been the ideal place to light it, because that was like an appendage to your house. You did semi-private activities in the chatzer, private activities in the house, semi-private activities in the chatzer. So you could light Chanukah menorah there. It's an extension of your house. We don't have a chatzer anymore. The whole system is gone. So since the whole system is gone, you can't light Chanukah menorah in the chatzer anymore. For a minute, because no one does private activities outside their home. I think in the dormitory, people do semi-private activities in the lobby. So maybe that's like the chatzer of old. But typically, most people restrict their private activities to their house or their private backyard. Most people are not hanging out their laundry in communal areas. So since we don't have this system at all, all of our activities are in the house. Everything outside is only public activities. So since the entire system fell apart, you need real mechitzas. One could have argued just the opposite. One could have said, since we don't do semi-private activities outside at all, everything should be made with a koro or a lechi. Again, according to the Rashba, it was the more private it was, the greater intensity, the more substantial mechitza you needed. The less private it was, the less substantial mechitza you needed. That's why one could have made that argument. The Chazon Ish says it must be, since the entire system fell apart, we reverted back to what is, the mechitza of the highest standard, and therefore a lechi and a korah don't work in any of our areas. So everything has the status of a chatzer, not a mavoi. We don't have any of these kulas of korah or a lechi anymore. However, by the same token, so again, we don't have mavoi. Does that mean we don't have the chumras of mavoi either? Because there is a chumra of mavoi. That's mentioned by the Shulchan Aruch Shin Samach Hesef Beis, and a mavoi, you're not allowed to have a piritz of dal tefachim. Even though we said, and once you have Ayman Rubah apart, you can have a pierce as long as it's less than Eser Amos, in a Mavo you can have even a pierce of Dalat Fachin. So, but do we say, well, we don't have this whole system anymore, so we don't have the Kul as a Mavo, we also don't have the Chumras of Mavo, or maybe we should say, we don't have the Kul as a Mavo, but you never know, maybe we should still maintain the Chumras of Mavo. So the Magen Avraham is quoted by the Mishnah Berurah, Shin Samach Hesef Kohen Yud, we should maintain the Chumras of a Mavo. The Evan Ha'ozer, he quotes, disagrees. The whole Mavoi story is gone. We don't have any traces of it anymore, and therefore, just like we don't have the kulas of a lechi or korah, we don't have the chumra of a pirtz of dalat tefachim. So that's another reason why not to have a second reason. We're going to get to one more, but another reason not to have any pirtzes in our erevin, as long as it's more than three tefachim, which it usually is. Three tefachim is lavud, but anything more than that, maybe we should have to maintain the chumras of a mavoi and not have even a pirtz of dalat tefachim. Rav Shechter wanted to be machmir for that in this Erev, at least in the old Wayu Erev, but there was always one that we can never solve. If we ever get there, there's the edge of 187th as it goes down. You used to be able to walk down, and then it became like a place to sell drugs, so it's locked. Midoriteris, but I remember when that door was open. So they there was they wanted to put something over there, was some opening or something. So they wanted to put a to close it off, but they never could because everyone was always ripping it down. That's where they was a heavily trafficked area. So because of that, the police closed it off. But you have to say, since we couldn't close one, we didn't bother closing them all. You have to close all of the pierces in order to avoid the problem. So every year, as we pass by it, he says, "Ooh, it's locked." I said, "Rebbe, it's been locked for 15 years." He says, "We should really now fix all of them." Yeah, okay, okay. In order to serve as a mechitza, all these different kinds of mechitzas has to be able to sustain a normal wind. The Shulchan Aruch says, "Shem Tzemach Beisif Aleph." Any mechitza in a yochalama beruch mitzuya cannot maintain a normal wind. Now, over Sukkot this last year, we had wind that was not a normal wind. But a normal wind is whatever. Sukkot's time is more windy than it is in May. So it doesn't mean in October it has to be able to withstand the normal wind of May. It means it has to be able to withstand the normal wind of October, which is windier than May. But, you know, that only a normal wind, not something that happens every few years. So you need stronger mechitzas in Chicago than you would, let's say, in New York, because it's more windy. I presume it is. I don't know. It's called the Windy City. I presume it is more windy than it is here. You need stronger mechitzas here. Not only does a real mechitza need to be yochalama beruch mitzuya, the Shulchan Aruch says in Shin Samach Gimel Sif Hei extends this to a lechi too. Needs to be yochalama beruch mitzuya. Says in Mishnah Berurah of Gan Chav, so too at Tzuras HaPesach. What if the lechi is very tall? So do I only need the bottom minimal shear of 10 tefachim to be yochalama beruch mitzuya? What if the top waves in the wind? So Mishnah Berurah says, well, if the top waves in the wind, that doesn't bother me. Or as long as I have the minimal shear that is solid, Mishnah Berurah of Gan Chav, if that's fine. The Shaar HaTzion, though, discusses a critical issue. Sukkah Nir Aleph, what about a Tzuras HaPesach? Does that mean the bottom part of the two Kanim Min Atzad, the two poles on the side, less 10 tefachim below are solid, the rest could be blowing in the wind? Or does the rest, when you're dealing with the Tzuras HaPesach, the entire thing is important? It's not like a lechi, the bottom 10 tefachim are what's really causing the heter over here, and everything else is just extra. Here, I need the entire picture to call it a Tzuras HaPesach, the two things on the side and the bar on top. So maybe the entire thing has to be Yochuram and Baruch Mitzvah, not just 10 Tefachim and below. So that's discussed by the Shaar HaTzion over there, Sukkot Nir Aleph. First he says, everything has to be Yochuram and Baruch Mitzvah, the top bar as well, the wire on top. Then he quotes from the Machzis HaShekel, who disagrees. His opinion is, the Kanim and Atzad, 10 Tefachim and below, have to be Yochuram and Baruch Mitzvah. Everything else does not. Could blow back and forth in the wind.
Including the horizontal?
Blow in the wind, says Machzis HaShekel. Why? So the Machzis HaShekel is obviously of the opinion, that's the commentary in the Magen Avraham, that the real het of Tzuras HaPesach is the two sidebars. You need the rest to fill out the picture, but that's not the real matir of a Tzuras HaPesach. The real chalois, the matir of a Tzuras HaPesach, I'm just saying, the real chalois, the matir of the Tzuras HaPesach is the two bars on the side. The rest is just to figure out the picture. And the Machzis HaShekel is a raya to this. Because the Shulchan Aruch says in Shin Samach Beis Sif Yud Aleph, in order to be a kosher Tzuras HaPesach, the two bar sidebars have to be Yochel Hamid Del Shokash. It has to be able to hold a minimal sized door in that part of the world. And Shekla is an important machlekes with Rabbi Eider, who built many Erevin in New Jersey. Most of them have been taken over by now, but he built many Erevin in New Jersey, New York, Connecticut. And his opinion was that the Kanim and Atzad does not have to be able to hold a Dela Shokash that goes the entire length of the Tzuras HaPesach, only 4 Tefachim. A minimal door, minimal height, 10 Tefachim, and minimal width, 4 Tefachim. Shekhla's opinion is, even though it only has to go up 4 Tefachim, it has to go the entire length of the doorway, which makes things a little bit more complicated in terms of skipping poles. Because let's say you have... let's say, look over here, diagram Ches, page 2, diagram Ches. So we're typically in a suburban area, they're going to rely on telephone poles that are already there. So you'll fix each telephone pole to make it a Kana Al Gabeh, I mean, whatever, you'll use it, we'll get to that in a second, you'll use the telephone wires as your Tzuras HaPesach. But what often at times happens is, there's one pole that's, whatever, for every reason, too hard to fix, and every time you fix a pole, it costs a lot of money. So, not a lot, but it costs money, so it adds up. So maybe you could just skip poles. Let's say I have pole, down a whole block, I'll fix this pole to be a Tzuras HaPesach, and the third pole, and the fifth pole to be a Tzuras HaPesach. So if they're all going in a straight line, you can do that. However, one problem you can encounter is, according to Rabbi Shekler, it has to be able to Yochel Hamadel Shokash to pole 3. And if you're going to skip two poles from 1 to 4, That's a very big door. Even if it's a telephone pole that's cemented into the ground, and even if you're using a minimal size door, a wicker door, whatever we'd use here, that's still a pretty big door. So according to Rabbi Eider, there was never a problem. You need a minimal size door, minimum thickness, minimum height, minimum width. According to Rabbi Schefter, you need a minimum height, but it has to go all the way to the other side. So that restricts a little bit how many poles you can skip. The bigger problem in skipping poles, and this is, I'd say, one of the most common questions comes up, is because oftentimes you'll have the middle pole brings it out of the lie of the two poles. Look over here, diagram Ches on page 2. This is a very common scenario, not as pronounced as this, but a variation of this. Is that so you have three poles there, pole A, B, and C. So you want us to get from A to C. So if you don't fix pole B, which you can't, right, because it's all the way in Minatzad, so then you can't really go from A to C either. You can't skip pole B because it brings it out of the lie of the two poles. And that kind of Tzuras HaPesach is, according to the Chazon Ish, is no good. It can't go out of the lie of the two poles.
Can't go out of what?
The thickness of the two poles. So let's say you have, let's look at the diagram. You have the three poles. The wire goes out of the thickness of pole A and C, right? See, it brings it out of those poles. That could happen, by the way, all the time. It's more common to see that a branch of a tree is pulling the wire away, even between one Tzuras HaPesach, you could have a tree doing this. But certainly when you're skipping poles, if you're going from A to C and B is in the middle, I don't want to fix pole B for whatever reason, you have to stand behind pole A and make sure that they're all three are in a line. And usually, whether you think they're in a line or not has to do with whether you're paying for it. If you're paying for it, everything always looks like it's in a line. If you're not paying for it, then you can be a little bit intellectually honest. And so you always have to have someone there to keep you honest, make sure that that's what's going. So, but the kana min hatzad, generally speaking, has to be yochel hamid delo shokash to the other end. However, the kana agabeim, the Shulchan Aruch writes in Shin Samach Bei Sifur Aleph, is enough with gemi, a string. It doesn't have to be yochel hamid delo shokash. Why not? Why doesn't it have to be yochel hamid delo shokash? So it says Machzis Hashekel because the kana agabeim is not really part of the doorway. It's just there to fill out the picture. So even if it's blowing in the wind, fine. It doesn't bother me. That's not really part of the Tzuras HaPesach. And that was the opinion of the Aruch HaShulchan, Ritzi Pesach Frank. That's why a sagging wire many Paiskim felt was okay. Most Erevin is not even here. Every time we go on the Erev Tzur to Rav Shefford, he was like, oh, the wire's sagging. In most communities, that is like so far down on the checklist of problems. It's a chum of the Mishnah Yaakov that you shouldn't have sagging wires. And I don't know if Salvechik said that Rav Chaim used to go around tightening the wires in Brisk. But in Yerushalayim, they have a cool thing that they have. In the poles, there's weights. I don't know if you have to mention this. In the poles, there's weights. So what happens is the wires stretch over time. So naturally, we'll sag. They have weights that keep pulling down the wires in the poles to make sure that it's constantly taut. That's a big chumrah. But in our communities, it's not even, don't even bother with that. The Aruch HaShulchan, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, the Machzis HaShekel, whole held, even if it's blowing in the wind, that's all right. Yeah.
Is there a certain point of sagging that, according to
them,
would be problematic?
Yeah, if it's pronounced. Right.
So it's just
more than telephone wires. See, telephone wires, they dafka make them sag because they don't want it to be too taut, because if it's taut, it'll snap in the wind and the snow and the ice. So they dafka make them sag, and that's what we build our Erevin out of.
Is there a shear or it's intuitive?
If it's sagging enough, the telephone company should come and fix it. If the telephone company hasn't come to fix it,
a regular
Tzuras HaPesach, not too much that it's like it's ridiculous.
If it's below the 10 tefachim mark,
Well, a similar issue with the pole, the wire getting pulled out of the two poles, right? Sometimes you have a branch. The branch is pulling it a little bit. How much is called being pulled out? So Shechel always used to point out that in the times of the Gemara, they build the Kan al Gabeim with, the Gemara says in Erevin, with grape vines. Grape vines are not straight. They zigzag. So Shechel said, you see the Kan al Gabeim could zigzag a little bit. So I asked him a million times, but how much? I don't know. If he looks at it and looks pronounced, it's too much. If Rabbi Shechel looks at it and it's not pronounced, then it's not too much. It's something that you have to, that's what Shemush is all about. So it shouldn't be too much. But at the same time, obviously, it's something we should try and minimize as much as we can. So that's why the Maksisa Shekel felt if the Kanal Gabem is not Yochalam Baruch Mitzuya, then it would be okay. Again, what does Yochalam Baruch Mitzuya mean? If you remember the discussion of canvas sukkahs, if you got involved in that, according to the Mishnah Berurah, just blowing in the wind is called Eino Yochalam Baruch Mitzuya, even if it doesn't fall down. According to the Chazon Ish, when it comes to canvas sukkahs, Eino Yochalam Baruch Mitzuya not being able to stand in the wind means that the wall will still be there. If so, the canvas sukkah, if it's tied down, it's still kosher according to the Chazon Ish. But here the Chazon Ish says, well, if the wire blows out between the two poles, that's like the wall blowing up in the sukkah. It's no longer kosher. Tzurisa Pesach is only kosher if you have the two poles and the wire going between the two poles. Once the wire blows out, then it'll be pasul. So according to the Maksis Shekel, that's all right. That's okay. But you can't have a wire that's permanently getting pulled out of the two poles by a tree or by a third, you know, a pole that you're skipping. We have to discuss at length before we get to the particulars of Tzurisa Pesach, the issue of siluk mechitzos, and that is that the mechitza that you're using has to relate to the reshus that you're enclosing. We're going to get to one other halakha that's based on this. So Gemara in Erevin has the following diagram of, I don't remember if he drew this year, of a chotze gedoyla with a chotze katana that's protruding into the chotze gedoyla. So this is the chotze gedoyla, and this is the chotze katana. So the Gemara says, here you can carry, here you can't. Why not? So Gemara explains, let me show you. It's because the Chotze Gedoyla has, basically, assuming that this is 9, has 4 walls. There's a piritza here, but it's a piritza, and it's less than 10. So here you can carry. The Chotze Katana you cannot carry. Why not? It has 3 walls and no 4th wall. And this is too far away, this wall is too far away, to be Mitzuruf to this enclosure. Why? I can't probably carry, in area A. Why can I carry in area B? Why? Because this wall, this wall, this wall, and then I have these 2 walls over here, which is Ami Rubal Parit, more than the 9. That's here. So Gemara says you can't carry any of the Chatzar Katana, even below this point, because these walls are boxed out of Masulak from the Chatzar Katana. They're boxed out. If these walls would not be here, then you probably could carry the Chotze Katana. But since these walls are here, these walls are boxed out, they don't relate, they're not adjacent to the Chotze Katana, that's no good. The other diagram we shut their eyes is like this.
They are adjacent to it.
No, they're not relating to that area because they're boxed out by this wall. So let's say, for example, in this case, the Shepherd discussed also, the bias, and you have the driveway here and the driveway here. So, Rishato argued, here you can carry. Why? Because this is less than 9, this is less than 9, and let's say this is 40, right? So you have 4 walls over here, and the Pirta less than S, so that's okay. Here you cannot carry. Why not? I have a wall here, a wall here, and why can't this wall, this wall count to enclose these areas? So Rishato said, if there wouldn't be a house here, so then you're right. Then this wall is adjacent to this area too. But since I have the extra wall here, that makes it that it's not this wall, it's not adjacent to either of these two areas. It's not enclosing them. So then those walls don't relate to that area. Reshetha compared it to, based on the Avnei Nezer, compared it to the mechitza for one ground level, along the edge of Manhattan, working for on top of the George Washington Bridge. He said it's not adjacent to the ground level that you're addressing. So that's Masulak Mikan, and that would not work to enclose that area. Yeah.
The first diagram, why isn't there Nifrats Masulak?
The Chotze Gedola should be Nifrats to the Chotze Katana. Maybe it would be. You're right, maybe it would be. But at least it's a Rosh HaYachid without that point. Rosh HaYachid is going to have a problem with the Tzuris HaPesach inside of Rosh HaYachid for that same problem. If I have a Tzuris HaPesach, this is what he extended it to, and we'll get to it in a second. If I have one bar of a Tzuris HaPesach here, and then I have someone else has a fenced-in backyard over here, and the other bar of the Tzuris HaPesach is inside of their fenced-in backyard, so Mekor Chaim felt that that's no good. So why? Why should it be no good just because it's in the fenced-in backyard? We'll get to one explanation in a second, because it's not Nikar, I can't see it, it's inside of his backyard. Then if it sticks way up out of it, I can see it, it should have been okay. Shabbat suggested it's because, but one opinion of Menezer, because this is like it's on the moon. This is Mesulak Mikan. It's not here. So then it's not, because this is not, this is kind of the Tzuris HaPesach, it's not enclosing this area, it's not adjacent to it, it's stuck in here. So more mechitzas can make things a little bit worse. Rishatha takes this even further, and this is
because of this issue, we avoided a lot of problems. This is what took us so many years to figure out the Wayu Eruv, is that even if I have no pirtza at all, if I have one mechitza that starts on one ground level, and then the next mechitza, because it drops, continues on the next ground level, because the ground dropped, the Rishetha held that these two mechitzas can't join up with one another, even though there's no space in between. You can't walk anywhere in between, because this mechitza is on this ground level, this Eruv continues on a different ground level, this Eruv continues on, and this Eruv continues on, and the two don't join up, because they're not in the same domain. That's the problematic extension of this Shita, but that's Rosh Hashanah's basic approach. Well, I'm sure we'll have an opportunity if we get the tour in to discuss it more at length on the tour. And then you see it in play, you'll see how it works out. Okay, the Bi'alacha Shin Samak Beisif Yud quotes the Suffolk of the Prima Gadim, with the entire Het of Atzuras HaPesach is Dimi D'Oraisa, only Dimi D'Rabbanan. We saw that by Kelayim it works to separate between wheat grains and grapes to avoid Kelay HaKerem, but then Rabbi Shechter argued maybe that's the difference. There's a difference between Atzuras HaPesach that's there to distinguish between two areas, as opposed to Atzuras HaPesach that's there to enclose an area, maybe to distinguish between grapes and grain. That works Dimi D'Oraisa, because of course Kelay HaKerem is a Dimi D'Oraisa, maybe to enclose an area is only a Dimi D'Rabbanan. That's one reason, by the way, not to rely on a Turis HaPesach for an entire Eruv, or why a Turis HaPesach can't work for a Rishus HaRabim Deiraisa, is not only because of Asu Ram of Atul Mechitzta, but if Rishus HaRabim Deiraisa, even if you wouldn't say Asu Ram of Atul Mechitzta, it won't destroy a Turis HaPesach. Let's say a Turis HaPesach would be a Mechitza Bria, but at the same time, you can't use it for Rishus HaRabim Deiraisa. Maybe Turis HaPesach is only a Heter Midrabanan to enclose an area, is not a Heter Midrairaisa. We generally assume it does work mid-Daraisa, but that was the suffix that the Prima Gadim had. Reshechter assumed that what the suffix is all about is really dependent on another suffix that the Bir Halacha in Shin Samach Gimel Sif Yud Aleph quotes from the Prima Gadim about the nature of the Heter of Tzuras HaPesach. That's really what the Prima Gadim is having a suffix about, and that's why he has a suffix later on. Also, I don't know if he makes this connection explicitly, but it's a tacit assumption he makes consistently. And that is the Shulchan Aruch there in Shin Samach Gimel Sif Yud Aleph is discussing that even though a lechi is a valid mechitza, and even a lechi ha'omen me'elav, which is the machlokes of Bayan Rabbi Reshechta mentioned, even if a lechi is a naturally occurring lechi, that's kosher in order to allow one to carry inside of the enclosure, but you have to be samachal of mibodio. You have to declare before Shabbos we're relying on this lechi. Unless you put it up for that reason, if it was naturally occurring, you have to say we're relying on this in order to help us carry. You have to be samach al mibodiyom. So Shechter derived from there, and it's a Ritzatzvi, I think already makes this extension, is because even though Alechi works midin mechitza, there's also a little bit of heker here. It's not like Korah, the entire purpose of the Korah is to remind me not to carry beyond this point. Lechi also, though, has some element of heker, and therefore I have to be samach al mibodiyom. The Rishonim, though, discuss a mechitza, you certainly do not have to be samach al mibodiyom. Let's say I have a cliff at the edge of whatever block that is, the edge of between after Bennett Avenue. I'm going to rely on that cliff as a mechitza. I don't have to declare before Shabbos, Rabbi Yisai, we're relying on the cliff in order to enable us to carry. If there's a cliff, there's a cliff, right? That you don't have to be samach al mibodiyom. However, what should we say about a Tzuras HaPesach? Does a Tzuras HaPesach have any element of heker at all, or is it fully a wall? It's a real mechitza. It's not to remind me not to carry beyond this point, where I have to be samach al mibodiyom announced before Shabbos. It's a mechitza like every other mechitza. That's another suffix that the Prima Gadim has. So Shechter understood that was really a suffix. How does the het of Tzuras HaPesach work? Is there an element of heker, meaning is this only a creation midrabanan, to remind me not to carry beyond this point? Or is this a real mechitza? Halach l'moshe misinai, shiur ha-chatzitim mechitza halach l'moshe misinai, and this is a real din midrairaisa, in which case there's no element of heker at all. Shechter assumed that there is no element of heker at all. This is a mechitza midaraisa. You do not need to be samach alav. You do not need to be samach alav mibodiyom. And Avnei Nezer, he quotes Avnei Nezer, proved this point from the fact that a Tzuras HaPesach lamala from Esr Mama is kosher. The Gemara says Masechta Sukkah that you can't have a schach a sukkah lamala me Esr Mama because no one will see the schach or shalta be'eno. So a kaira also that's lamala me Esr Mama, the first mitzvah in Erevin, is no good because it's not going to serve as a reminder not to carry beyond this point. No one's going to see. No one looks up that high as they're walking. However, Tzuras HaPesach that's lamala me Esr Mama is kosher. So you see from that, we can derive from here. Tzuras HaPesach has nothing to do with heker. It's not because it reminds people not to carry beyond this point. It's a bona fide mechitza midiraisa.
and therefore it doesn't have to be recognizable. Even if it's above Esther Malam, it's okay. However, because of that, Rosh Hashanah disagreed with a few things that keep coming up in the Mishnah Berurah, which seem to emphasize the element of Heker with regards to the Tzuras HaPesach. For example, the Gemara says in Masechta Yuma the following, that the Tzuras HaPesach that's made l'achzukei tikra, that's there only to support the building, is not chayv mezuzah. That the Gemara has by mezuzah. So the Mishkan is Yaakov has a tshuva where he extended that to Tzuras HaPesach for Shabbos too. A Tzuras HaPesach that's achzukei tikra is not kosher for a Tzuras HaPesach for Shabbos. So therefore, the way that this was understood by some, the Torah Chesed, the Shuras Malko, many Achronim understood, that any Tzuras HaPesach that's made for a different purpose other than to serve as a doorway, as an enclosure, is not kosher for a Tzuras HaPesach for Shabbos. So because of that, the Mishnah Berurah quotes, over there, Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Shaarei Tzion, the Shvus Yaakov, can you use telephone poles if they're constructed properly, al gabeim as a Tzuras HaPesach? It was made for a different purpose. Wasn't made l'shem Tzuras HaPesach. That's like l'achzukei tikra. Wasn't made l'shma. So Shechter did not understand l'achzukei tikra as a, you know, as a discussion of why you made it, because the Mishkan Yaakov carries over l'achzukei tikra to Hilchos Shabbos. Shechter couldn't understand why would a Tzuras HaPesach have to be made l'shma. It's a bona fide mechitza. It doesn't serve me din heker. It's not there to be recognizable. That if it's part of a structure or made for a different reason, it's not going to remind me not to carry beyond this point. So he understood l'achzukei tikra, because of his understanding of Tzuras HaPesach in general, that it's a bona fide mechitza. It doesn't need heker. It's not there to serve as a reminder not to carry. No, l'achzukei tikra was an entirely different problem. The problem with l'achzukei tikra is that it's part of a bigger structure. It's there to support the roof. So it's not the problem with the telephone poles because they weren't made the shame Tzuras HaPesach. And most are mako, either because we don't carry over l'achzukei tikra to Shabbos, not like the Mishkan is Yaakov, or because they understood l'achzukei tikra, not that it has to be made l'shma. Every Erev relies on telephone poles. Well, most of the time we change the telephone poles. So it's not, we're going to do something to the telephone pole to make it kosher, so then maybe that solves the problem.
Huh? What was the problem then?
L'achzukei tikra, because it's part of a larger structure. You can't have a Tzuras HaPesach that's there to hold up the roof, because the Tzuras HaPesach can't be part of a larger structure. He bases this on a Mishnah Berurah that quotes from the Magen Avraham. Look at the last page, page 4. That's not that. Is it here? No, I didn't give it to you. Mm-hmm. But he was discussing making the Mishnah Berurah quote. The Mishnah Berurah quotes from Magen Avraham. You cannot, let's say I have 4 houses. Can I just put a Tzuras HaPesach from the top of one house to the top of the other house? I wish I could mention this. Alright, you have like this. And I'll have a Tzuras HaPesach that goes like that. So Magen Avraham says, no, that's no good. So he says, why should that be no good? So the answer is because that's part of a bigger structure. Kanamin Atzad cannot be a bigger structure. So Shechter understood that that was the same problem with Zukei Tikra. The reason why it's not Chayv Mezuzah is because it's not a separate, distinct doorway. In order to be Chayv Mezuzah, you need something that's a shame doorway, not there to hold up the whole house, like a wall. So too, when it comes to Shabbos, he understood l'achzukei tikra, not that it has to be made l'shma for the purpose of a doorway and not for the purpose of holding up the roof. It has to do with the way that it's constructed. If it's constructed to hold up something as part of a bigger structure, that's not kosher for Tzuras HaPesach, just like the Mishnah Berurah said in the name of the Magen Avraham, you can't use the whole house. So too over here as well. That's why, look back at page 4 though, and Rosh Hashanah is of the opinion, even look at diagram Tes Zion, that's the second from the bottom, you can't use a larger fence, let's say, to be a Kanamin Atzad. Even though it might be constructed like a proper Tzuras HaPesach, because it's part of a bigger structure, and that bigger structure cannot, that's l'achzukei tikra. Or, this came up, it still comes up, unfortunately, and we're back to where we started, but the Erev in Manhattan, on certain points, I would like them to be more transparent about different things, but the Erev in Manhattan, they're relying on, when you get to the different crossings, the fact that there's Tzuras HaPesachs built into some of the crossings, in the way that they're constructed with the poles, you know, with the steel beams. So according to some, that's okay, you know, because there's a Tzuras HaPesach somewhere in the bridge. But Rosh Hashanah felt that that's l'achzukei tikra. So some don't carry over l'achzukei tikra to Hilchos Shabbos. The Mishkan Yaakov said that we should. Others disagreed. Rosh Hashanah says if we're going to carry over l'achzukei tikra to Hilchos Shabbos, it doesn't mean that it has to be made l'shem Tzuras. This is not made l'shem Tzuras HaPesach also, but it's certainly part of a bigger structure. And since it's there to hold up the bridge and not there with Shem Tzuras HaPesach, that would not be acceptable. So too, oftentimes you'll have a fence, a big long fence, and then there's a pole that's cemented into the ground, and then there's an opening. But we need to close it off for Shabbos. Let's say it's a driveway. So typically what people who are not familiar with the Beshechta's positions will do is you already have something cemented into the ground. They'll attach a larger pole. They'll remove the cap from the top of the chain link fence, stick a pole into that tube because it's already cemented into the ground, and use that as a kind of an atzad to then continue on. So Beshechta felt you can't. That pole is there to hold up the chain link fence. That's part of a bigger structure that's, you know, more than down Amos. It's going a whole way over here. So that you can't use as a kanamin atzad for the Tzuras HaPesach. So you have to attach a separate pole to that, you know, the supporting pole of the fence that will be for the purpose of a Tzuras HaPesach. Because you can't use a house as a part of the kanamin atzad, as a Tzuras HaPesach, of the Tzuras HaPesach, Rav Shechter felt that you have to attach something to the house in order to be kind of an outside. So let's say, look over here. Look back at page 3. The top left diagram. So you see the wires going into the house. That, and there's a little board below. Right? Yeah, so even though it's not nogeah, it's not touching, we're going to get to it in a second, it could be good asik mechitzta, and that's okay. As long as the wires, al gabeyam, is on top of the little board that's below. But remember the halacha, it has to be yachala hamid del shokash, it has to be able to hold up a minimal size doorway. What has to be able to hold up a minimal size doorway? The house? No. The house certainly can. But the house is not your kanamin atzad. That's no good for kanamin atzad of a tzuras HaPesach, because that's a big structure. That little board that you're putting below has to be able to be Yochel Hamidel Shokash. So Shechter argued, well, then you can use the fact that it's screwed into the house, but the board itself would have to be able to maintain the door. You couldn't screw in. See, this door has a very strong steel frame. If you wanted it to, you have a little, you know, 1x2 piece of board, if you just screw the door into that board, the board couldn't hold up a door that would go all the way to the other end of the Tzuras HaPesach, then that board is not good enough. And if you need to screw it into the house in order to hold it up, that's no good either, because the house can't be a kanamin atzad. So that's why in Mount Sinai, they in order to make Rabbi Shechter happy, wherever they have this, they have a wire going into the buildings, they put big metal boxes as the kanamin atzad, because the building can't serve as a kanamin atzad. It has to be the board that's attached to it, that's underneath the wire, but they had something substantial. When they first built the area on the other side of the heights, we'll see, we'll start the tour with this if we get going tomorrow, that you'll see by Belfer Hall, there's an old Tzuras HaPesach when the Erev was only on the other side of Amsterdam Avenue, and they have a little piece of wood underneath one of the wires. And Rav Shechter, that's one of the tikkunim that we had when we fixed the Erev, is that we got rid of all those. There's no little pieces of wood underneath the wire. Yeah.
This is a little bit off the central topic, but talking about the Mount Sinai Erev, there might be that it should not go into Fort Trion Park. Is that because they consider Fort Trion Park a carfave?
I don't know. That much I don't know.
Because normally we say a park is as a tashmish, so it shouldn't be a car fate, right?
Fort Trion Park is up the hill, right?
It's the end of Fort Washington Avenue.
Yeah. When we saw it, I don't think that was part of it. It was only below. I don't remember. I don't know why.
Several yards before Fort Trion
Park. It might be because there's a carpet there. Yeah, it's a good reason.
Oh, because part of the park is not for tashmish, it's just
probably
it's just trees and grass.
Yeah, you're opening Pandora's box by going into a park.
Right.
Yeah. The problem is, though, the Rama quotes the Trumas Hadeshin, since Shamach Gimel Siv Zayin, that lechi can be enough with a little bit of plaster against the building. That's good enough for a lechi. So Mishnah Berurah there writes that the same is true of the Tzuras HaPesach. It's enough, let's say I want to build a Tzuras HaPesach over here going into this wall. What can I do? Just put a little bit of plaster up. That will be my kanamin atzad. So there are certain places where, there's lots of places where they build Erev in that way. There's one well-known place who builds Erev in that way by putting reflector tape along buildings. And then the wire gets screwed into the buildings, and he just has reflector tape over there, because the Ramah says, Zid, Agabi Akaisel, can serve as a kanamin atzad. And the Mishnah Berurah says the same is true, the Tzuras HaPesach, so you build a little reflector tape, a little bit of plaster, and that's your kanamin atzad. So Shechter felt, even though that might be true with regards to Lechi, it's not good with regards to Tzuras HaPesach, not like the Mishnah Berurah. Why? Because that can't hold the Devil Shokash. The building can hold the Delos Rakas. The overpass can hold the Delos Rakas. But the overpass is, or whatever wall you're screwing it into, is not good for a Tursa Pesach. That's a structure. That's Lachsuke Tikra. It's not for the, not because it's not made Lishma. It's part of a bigger structure. So whenever it's part of a bigger structure, it's no good. So you can't use reflector tape. You can't use Sid or Gabi Akaiso as a condiment outside. When it comes to telephone poles, so oftentimes, in order to make the telephone pole, the wire that's on top of it, al gabeyam, again, most telephone wires run along the side of poles, which is makes them no good. A Keturah Sefes, we'll get to right now, has to be al gabeyam, can't be min atzad, so they'll run tubing up the pole to underneath the wire. But that tubing, the tubing itself can't be yachol amad el shokash, becomes part of the pole. And the pole is not a big structure, right? It's not a building in its own right, it's a pole. They have other things attached to the pole. We have some things attached to the pole, but the pole is a pole. They're using it as a pole. We're using it as a pole. So since it's a pole, you can use the rest of the pole to be mamid el shokas, and that's why the telephone poles are not a structure. That's just a pole. Like we're using it as a pole, and they used it for one thing. We're going to use it for something else, and that's why it's that doesn't run afoul of this principle. Because again, a Tzuras HaPesach doesn't need to be made lishma. That's not what Achsuke Tikra meant. It means that it can't be part of a bigger structure. Because of this same philosophy, Rosh Hashanah disagreed with a comment of the Bechor Shor, which appears consistently throughout the Mishnah Berurah, and many are machmir for. Because of that, Rosh Hashanah is makel against the Bechor Shor. But the Bechor Shor is quoted by the Shari Tshuva, commenting on the Shulchan Aruch Shin Sama Gimel Siv Chavav, where the Bechor Shor compares all of Dinei Tzuras HaPesach to the halachas of Alechi. Whatever appears is true by Alechi, is true by Tzuras HaPesach too. That is because the Bechor Shor understood, just like Alechi needs to be samech ol mivod yom, needs a certain amount of heker, so too Tzuras HaPesach needs a certain amount of heker. It has to be recognizable to remind you not to carry beyond this point. If you don't think that that's the case, you think Tzuras HaPesach is a bona fide mechitza, like a brick wall, not like Alechi at all, there's no reminder aspect here at all, then we shouldn't necessarily carry over the halachas. But the Bechor Shor did, and the Mishnah Berurah consistently follows that position. So the Mishnah Berurah writes in Shin, I'll get to your question in a second, the Mishnah Berurah writes in Shin Sam Gimel Sukkot Chav Gimel, that just like you can't have a lechi that's removed from the wall, that's far away from the wall, because it doesn't serve as a reminder, just a pole standing here in the middle of nothing, so too you can't have a Tzuras HaPesach that's freestanding. It has to be attached to a wall. The Shari Tshuva quotes in the Makor Chaim, at least if it's attached on one side, that's good enough, even if the other side is not necessarily attached to the wall, but there are some who are machmer that every Tzuras HaPesach needs to be attached to a wall, just like every lechi needs to be attached to the wall. You can't have a freestanding lechi. So that's why, also, most Erevin, there are very few breaks, because they won't have a Tzuras HaPesach that's not adhered to a wall, or at least within love to a wall. Rishachl doesn't believe that we should carry over the halachas of lechi to Tzuras HaPesach. So according to Rishachl, you can't have a freestanding Tzuras HaPesach. We still have one remaining from the old YU Erev. If you walk down 185th Street in front of parking lot, whatever that's called, by Schottenstein, you will see a freestanding Tzuras HaPesach that used to be the edge of the Erev, which is not attached to Schottenstein and not attached to the parking lot. Because Rishachl disagreed with this Makor Chaim, with the Bechor Shor, that everything has to be, we carry over all the halachas of a lechi to Tzuras HaPesach. Also, the Makor Chaim therefore had a chumrah that you can't have a Tzuras HaPesach that's more than 7 feet long. Just like a lechi can't be more than Dalet Amos long, so too a Tzuras HaPesach cannot. This is based on Shulchan Aruch, Shin Sam Gimel Sif Yud Beis. You can't have a lechi that's more than 7 feet long, so too you can't have a kind of a Tzuras HaPesach that's more than 7 feet long. So Shechter believed, and this is not his shita, this is Beis Afray, and the Chazanish also disagree with many of the chumras of the Bechor Shor, that we shouldn't carry, or the Makor Chaim, we shouldn't carry this over either. But you still can't have a kind of min atzad that's more than 7 feet long. The Shechter said, if it's 7 feet long, that's a fence, that's a structure. Aye, that's lachzuke tikra, it's a whole different problem. But according to the traditional Iwa, they didn't make a tzur kind of min atzad that was so long. It was not because it's a structure, but rather it's because it's not similar to a lechi. Yeah.
I was wondering, because during the first year, Rav Schechter kept making the point that people call it a lechi, but they're long.
That's why he's so adamant, because it's not the same. Yeah.
Okay, because that's
the same. They're not the same. Right. The Shari Tshuva and Shin Sama Gimel Simcha Vav, quote from the Bani Meiros, as many think that this halach is related to this also, is that you can't have a Tzuras HaPesach Achurei HaKosel. That is, comes in two varieties. Look at page 3, diagram Tes. I'm sorry for time. And that is, if you have an enclosure like this, and the Tzuras HaPesach here, or you have it like this. So the Tzuras HaPesach is not adjacent to the area that you're enclosing, right? So many felt, you can't have a Tzuras HaPesach Achurei HaKosel, or the other option is like this. This diagram you can see, look at diagram test, which is this.
I have this. So many felt that you can't do that because it's not Nikar. The Tzurta Pesach is not obvious. As I'm walking out of here, all I see is this. I don't see that. All I see is I don't see anything when I walk out of here. So how does that remind me not to carry beyond this point? So that's why some felt the Tzurta Pesach Achuri HaKosel is no good. The Chazanish interpret the Tzurta Pesach Achuri HaKosel is no good as a whole different reason. Not because it's not Nikar, it's because you have to have a mechitza adjacent to the area that you're enclosing. Here it's not Mema'et, B'chalal HaPesach. That's the language of the Chazanish. It has to be inside of the area that you're enclosing in order to relate to that area. So that's why the Tzurta Pesach Achuri HaKosel is not because of Heker, it's because of a whole different reason. There's a chumra out there. Rosh Hashanah doesn't subscribe to this. Let's say I have a wall here. I have a wall here. And a row of hedges. So there's some person who amachmir, you can't have any walls underneath the Tzurta Pesach. Like an extension of Tzurta Pesach, a chayri akosel. Rosh Hashanah felt, because the wall is good asik, and it somehow disrupts the Tzurta Pesach, Rosh Hashanah felt not
an issue.
Yeah, that's what many... But there are some who are machmir that way. Everybody Heinemann is machmir like that. The Makor Chaim said, yeah?
Is there another discussion about if there's like enough trees that blocks you from walking?
Yeah.
How do we
carry machmir? We'll get to that. Sure. Okay, this is one of the last things we're going to discuss. We got to it already? We didn't talk about it yet? Oh, we'll get to the last thing. Okay. Let's get there. Okay, the Makor Chaim says you can't have a Tzurta Pesach inside of a Rishus HaYochid. Some felt that that was because of... Heker, if it's inside of Rishus HaYachad, I don't notice it when I'm walking down the street. It's inside someone else's backyard. Again, Rishus HaYachad felt that that was because of Siluk Mechitzas. It doesn't relate. It's not adjacent to the area that you're enclosing. It's in someone else's backyard, and therefore that's a problem. I would say in most suburban Erevin, they have this. It's very difficult to avoid. And Rishus HaYachad quoted from Mendel Zaks that that was a minig in Europe, was they were mako with the Tzurta Pesach Toich Rishus HaYachad. You know, when you first learn Hilchos Erevin, you're like, aghast, what? The Tzurta Pesach on the side of Rishus HaYachad. Rishus HaYachad talked about it for 3 weeks. It's not ideal at all. I mean, Rishus HaYachad will never sign off on an Erev that has a Tzurta kind of Toich Rishus HaYachad. But there are many times, you know, that it's just, that there's no other way of running the Erev. So you'll say, okay, so you can't build an Erev in this community. And maybe that's the proper response. But there are many, many Paiskim who disagreed with this Pesach of the Makor Chaim, I felt you could build a Kana Toich Rishus HaYochid. And Poik Chazi Mayim HaDavar is that it is going on there. Those building Erevin, even in Yeshivisha communities, you don't have it. But in Balbatusha communities, suburban communities, we limited resources. You don't have too many Yodei Sefer to begin with. So then it's not the worst thing.
Was that the issue with the bus shelters, that you have a Rishus HaYochid in the middle of the, in other words,
That's only if the kana. If the kana. But let's say I have. We'll get to this. Is an extension of this. Not only Rosh Hashanah argue, can I not have a pole inside of Rosh Hashanah Yochid, because then I won't notice the poles I'm walking by. I can't even have a Rosh Hashanah Yochid underneath the wire that's al gabayim. Because if you understand that you can't have a pole inside of Rishus HaYochid because it's not adjacent to the area that I'm enclosing, because it's Mesulak Mikan, it somehow got transported to Mars, so then it's a different ground level, a different area. I can't even have Rishus HaYochid underneath the wire that's beneath it, because that takes everything that's above it and brings it to somewhere else. So that's why Rosh Hashanah was machmir, you can't even have a kana, Rishus HaYochid underneath Tzurta Pesach that's Agabem. That issue is debated already by the Yeshua Smalkin and Avnei Nezer. Should we extend the Chumrah that far? Rosh Hashanah obviously does. If there's a dumpster there, so then Rosh Hashanah said, well, there's a car passing below, that's a temporary resident, my Tzurta HaPesach is here permanently, so one, my Tzurta HaPesach takes precedence, it was here before that, and therefore it's not necessarily a problem. Okay, and some details with regards to Tzurta HaPesach. So the Gemara says over here, Shulchan Aruch Shin Samech Beis Sifir Aleph, in order to be a kosher Tzurta HaPesach, it has to be al gabei, you can't have a Tzurta HaPesach that's min atzav. Look at diagram Dalet on page 3. And most telephone poles have it like this, that the wires run along the side of the pole. Telephone wires are thick black wires, those we work with. Electrical wires we typically stay away from, not smart, right? They look differently, they're typically like wound around, and they're usually higher on the pole. The low black thick wires are all telephone wires. But either way, they all run along the side of the pole. Rarely, you have a Tzurta HaPesach, you have 12 phone poles, it happens, that the wires run on top of the poles. It happens. So then that's, Baruch HaMin HaShamayim. And because then you don't have to do anything. It's not Melech Tzuke Tikra, it's not a structure, it's a pole. So, but if the wires run alongside the pole, then we have a problem. So how do we solve the problem? We run tubing up alongside the pole.
to be underneath the wire. When you're doing that, look down at diagram Vav, if you can see it. There's like a white tubing. A lot of times they put a white cap on the top so the person who's checking the air driving by can just see. He sees the cap underneath the wire. He doesn't have to get out the, you know, of the car and say, ah, where is it? Or use orange caps. They do different things that is a little obvious. But a lot of times the wire is sticking off the pole. So when it's sticking off the pole, you have to make sure that your tubing goes off the pole to get underneath the wire. If let's say I have a pole over here and the wire is all the way out here, I can't have a tube here because the tube here won't solve a problem if the wire is all the way out here because it's on some sort of bracket detached from the pole. It happens a lot. So you have to pull the tube off to go underneath the wire that's detached from the pole somewhat. But you can't do it too far. Like, look over here at the middle diagram of diagram Vav on page 3. You know, the tube is already sticking out very far from the pole. Can we really call that attached to the pole anymore? Or maybe that's already just a bent kanamin atzad. So there is some leeway here, but it can't be too dramatic.
What is the habermanitz of Bimashir that at all, that middle diagram?
I agree with you. But a lot of times, you're right, that's too much. But a lot of times there's less severe pictures. And, you know, again, that comes into the area of a judgment
call. The most important part of the Kura is the first 10 Tfachim, right?
From right, right.
And this is clearly not over the lower 10 Tfachim of the pole.
Right, correct. No, the tube stretches out to go underneath the wire.
Yeah, but the tube is the bottom part of the kura is the important part, right? The one that's affixed to the ground.
The whole thing is important. The upper part has to be al gabeim, and the lower part has to be goes all the way to the ground.
If you cut off everything above 10 tefachim, theoretically,
if the bottom part is below the wire.
Right.
Here it won't be because the wire is detached from the pole. You're going to attach a tube to part of the pole. Yeah? I'm going to attach a tube here. It's going to go up straight here. The wire is all the way out here. So I solve the problem by pulling the tube off. Now I don't need good asik. Good asik is straight. Right. This is curved. So I solve my problem by pulling the wire off. The problem is once I pull my wire off, how can I really have a kanamin atzad that goes like that? It's.
I don't see how this hook accomplishes anything.
Because it makes it al gabeim. The wire is on top of the tube.
Don't we say this is a v'chitza tluya?
V'chitza tluya? What? It goes all the way to the ground. The tube. The tube runs down the side of the pole.
It only sticks to the top.
No. It goes all the way down the side of the pole to the ground. I didn't make that clear. But a lot of times it's like, oh, it's Dawid. Look at diagram Dawid. See, you have a tube running up, and it hits the bracket, but it doesn't hit the wire. That's no good. It has to hit the wire. So many Rabbanim don't know that. It has to. So that's why you have to pull it off a little bit to hit the wire. The minute you pull it off a little bit to hit the wire, then you're ready to have a kanamin atzad that's distorted. Look at diagram Aleph, though. There the kanal gabeim is close to the top, but not really on the top. So that was the Taz said, well, it's close to the top, that's okay. Mishnah Berurah quotes this, Sifkat and Samuk Dalad. And Shafa made a big point, and that's, you know, there were those who built Erev in that way, that we don't accept the Taz. It has to be literally al gabeim. What about, though, the following situation? Look at diagram Hay. So in the second picture of diagram Hay, the wire runs on top of the telephone pole or on top of a pole. That's okay. We say good asik mechitz. We view the mechitz if it goes all the way up and it touches that which is on top of it. What about the first diagram there? So it doesn't go over the bottom part of the pole, but it goes over that extension on the top. So Rav Shechter claimed, and this is already found, I found it already in the Chazon Ish, he said on his own, but I found the Chazon Ish, that's okay, because we view the upper part as an extension from the lower part. So even though it's not al gabeim, it's not on top of the lower part, right? You see what I'm talking about? The lower part of the pole, the lower section, the first diagram of Os Hay on page 3. But it is, that pole can be viewed as an extension of the pole that's beneath it, and therefore the entire thing is al gabeim. This comes up. There's entire Erevin built based on this. I don't want to tell you where, but close by, built based on this principle and something that looks like the third diagram in Osei, which is my crude drawing because it's hard to get a picture of it. Or if you look over here on the color photos at this picture, yeah, everybody see this picture? So there's a extender from the telephone pole. Why do they do that? They do that because you're dealing with electrical wires. and therefore they want it running on the metal, on the wood pole. They have a metal extender from the pole. So Shechta said, well, that metal extender is going up the same direction as the pole itself. So even if it's al gabeim of that metal extension, that's good too. However, if you see, the wire doesn't look like it runs on top of the metal extender. Because on top of that, there's a cylinder cap. This is super common. Go home, drive to Teaneck, Route 4, everywhere. This is all over the place. You never noticed it, but it's everywhere. So there's a wire, there's three slots on those caps. So we've had people take it down and show us. There's three slots on those caps to hold three wires. If it's over the middle slot, which goes over that bottom middle pole, you know, the middle extender, that's great. That's al gabeim, according to Rabbi Shechter. Not everyone is comfortable with that, but that's a cool Rabbi Shechter. I found it right in the Chazon Ish. If it's over here, you know, extends on the slot that's at the edge of the cap, well, the cap is not an extension of the pole. The cap is like a round thing. It's not more tall than it is wide. And I don't know why we would view that as an extension of the pole. The pole is an extension of the metal pole. It's an extension of the wood pole. So fine, if it's on top of that, that's okay. But not if it's at the edge of that metal cap. So if you look over there back in the diagram, hey, the third part, there's like A, B, and C, three slots on that little cap. So if it's over B or C, that would be fine because it's either over the extender or over the main pole. But if it's over A, slot A, then that would be a problem. This is super common. Another issue that's super common in Erevin is discussed by the Mishnah Berurah. Sifkan Salmuk Dalad quotes from Prima Gadma as a Safek. What if the wire goes through the pole? So many times people have this impression of like this big hole in a telephone pole and there's like a wire going through it. There's no holes in telephone poles with wires going through them. What this it looks like is, look at diagram B, Bay's over here, page 3. You can have a wire that's screwed through a telephone pole. Why do they do that? Like braces. They keep your teeth in line. So too, in order to keep their telephone poles taut, the telephone wire is sag. But in order to keep them taut, they run tension wires in between the telephone poles. So, and they often look like this. This is what is known as tachuv. See? This picture, this is the telephone wire. They don't want that to be taut because that will rip. But they have this metal wire which attaches to a brace that screws right through the pole. So what if it screws through the pole? So can we call that al gabeim? Because it's on top of the bottom part of the pole. It screws all the way through, but it's not on top of the tippy part of the telephone pole. So Makor Chayim,
which would be good, right?
That was a big suffix that the Mishnah Berurah quotes in the name of the Prima Gadim, Sifkan Samach Dalin. Mekor Chaim discusses that it's only if there's nothing on top of it, the Mekor Chaim is not so happy about it, but the Chazon Ish was makel that this is kosher. Most, the Mishnah Berurah recommends to be machmer on this issue, but most Erevin, at least nowadays, are being makel on this issue. It used to be like a chumra, like a kula. Nowadays it's almost standard policy, but there are some who are still machmer for it not to rely on tochuv. Rav Shechter likes to rely on it, but not everyone is comfortable with it. Machlok is the Mishnah Berurah and the Chazon Ish. Even if the wire doesn't go straight through, again, it attaches to a brace. The brace has a bolt that goes straight through. Most assume this is all one extension of that wire, right? Because it's really all going in the same direction. So even though this is a wire, this is a brace, but it all goes straight through, that's considered to be tachuv. That's half of the Erevin that are around now are based on this kind of principle, since it's over the bottom part of the pole and it goes all the way through. If it's just nailed in, look at this diagram. Yeah, so the wire is nailed in, but it doesn't bolt through. You don't see it come out the other side. That's not called al gabeim. That looks like it's min atzad. Because it doesn't see here, you can see the bolt coming through on the end. That's kosher. If it doesn't come all the way through, that's not even called tachuv. It doesn't go all the way through, and therefore that would be a problem. What haven't we discussed already? Here, the Mishnah Berurah Shin Samach Gimel Sifkan Kuf Yud Beis discusses if I have a wire that's on the side, you can build a little tube or bit of a piece of wood that goes until it reaches the bottom of the until it reaches the wire that's on top. So look over here, right? The house. I have the wire that's high. I build a little kanamin outside, and that goes beneath the wire, and that's okay. The big problem, and that's how I would say Erevin outside of the New York area were typically built, because it's cheap. I have telephone poles. The wires are not on top of the poles, they're on the side. What do? I go to Home Depot, chick-chock. I did this with a rabbi once. I don't know what we were thinking. And we bought some wood, nailed it to the telephone poles, under, you know, more or less underneath the wire, blah, 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 Erev. The problem is the wire has to be on top of the wooden pole. How do I figure out what's on top? So there's two ways you could figure it out. One, a crude way, I guess it looks like it's on top. The other way is we could drop a plumb line, which is just based on gravity, go up, you need a bucket truck, and do, nowadays you can do it much easier. They sell in Home Depot, $100 or something, a level with a laser pointer. Many people use it for sukkahs also. Every contractor has one. It's a level, because they want to build their floors level, and they want their ceiling to be level too, so that it's a level with a laser pointer. So I make sure this is level, and then I put it on top of my wood pole, and I see what's on top. If I hit the wire, great. If I don't, not. So there's two ways of evaluating Erevin. Do I actually have to do that, a level with a laser pointer, or could I just do, kefi ro'eis ha'ayin? So that was a big machloekes achronim. Rav Shechter mentioned this. That's what he meant. Do I just guess, seems like it's on top, or do I actually need a laser pointer with a level? So Rav Moshe and Rav Soloveitchik felt it was enough kefi ro'eis ha'ayin. That means I look at it and it looks like it's on top. Sometimes you'll be very wrong. Other poskim felt, you have to know that it's on top by the pull on gravity. So I said it on my own. Later I found that Rav Zalman Nechemia says this. I felt justified. That even those who say kefi ro'eis ha'ayin, even if you're going to do that, it can't be a haphazard guess. This is my best guess. Let's put it here. It can't be a shot in the dark. It has to be undoubtedly the wire is going on top of the piece of wood. So if you're going to do that, you got to have pretty big wide pieces of wood that there's no doubt about it that the wire is going on top of it. We might be proven wrong sometimes because it's an optical illusion, but those are the two opinions that you have. Another big issue I should have to belabor the point about was the Gemara says in itself, this Erevin Pischei Shamoi are no good for a Tzuras HaPesach. What is Pischei Shamoi? So that is, look back at page 2. That's the brick wall. Pischei Shamoi is not Chayv HaMezuzah. Pischei Shamoi is not good for a Tzuras HaPesach. So it's Evan Nichnas, Evan Yotze. That's how Rashi interprets it. The Mordechai says, no, what it means is it has to be Keda Abdi Inshi, as most people would build an Erev, and the Mishnah Yaakov passes like the Mordechai. So because of that, we don't pass like that Mordechai. How do I know I have a raya? Says Rabbi Wilg. He printed in that Mordechai. We don't pass like this Mordechai. How do I know? He says, because you can build a Tzuras HaPesach in a Pisgah B'Keren Zavis. No one builds a doorway in a Pisgah B'Keren Zavis. So how can they put a Tzuras HaPesach in a Pisgah B'Keren Zavis? So must be, you don't need Keda Abdi Inshi. So Shechter argued, he didn't argue, he argued this on a different point. No, Tzuras HaPesach Keda Abdi Inshi means the structure of the Tzuras HaPesach has to be like a contractor would construct it. The location where I put it doesn't necessarily have to be Keda Abdi Inshi. Like Shechter made the point, I could have Tzuras HaPesach, 15 in a row. Nobody would do that. Who would build 15 Tzuras HaPesach in a row? Who would build a Tzuras HaPesach al Gabi Amayim? It's not a normal place to build a Tzuras HaPesach doorway. It's not that we judge a Tzuras HaPesach by the place where it's built, but the structure has to be Keda Abdi Inchi. Has to be the way that a person would normally build the structure of a doorway. So that's why Rabbi Shechter was opposed, the Mishnah Yisakov too, to a sagging wire, because not only because it's Yochalam, Enu Yochalam Baruch Mitsuya, and the Machzis HaShekel said it's okay, others disagreed, but it's because Shalom Keda Abdi Inchi. So that's why the Mishnah Brura in Kuf Yud Gimel writes, this comes up a lot, that the pole of a kana min atzad won't go all the way to the ground. A lot of times they leave it like this. So the Mishnah Berurah holds that's okay. You can have lovet in a kana min atzad because it's within lovet to the ground. Or the tubing cracks. So a piece of tubing, break. It's within lovet. Most parties can say it's all right. That's the Mishnah Berurah. The Chazon Ish says explicitly, the first time I told people this, the guy said, don't say it. But he does say it. The Chazon Ish says, it's not mine, it's a Shechter's thing. That you can't have lovet in a kana min atzad. Why? Because no one would build a doorway that way. So then the poles have to literally go in the ground. I've asked Rabbi Shechter how much. Like I said, I could slide a piece of paper underneath, So but my contractor, we just did a little work. It's not directly on the ground. Contractors will build, even though it's not directly on the ground. It's a little close enough to the ground that it's not just like lovet. But you can't have cracks in the kana min atzad as you're going up. It has to be a solid thing, which is something that always has to be maintained, and you can't have cracks along the side. Because of that factor, Shechter felt that the placement of the Tzuras HaPesach doesn't have to be Keda Abdi Inshi. Only the structure of the Tzuras HaPesach. So that's why Shechter argued. Look at the last page four, which is a discussion in the Paiskim already. Look at diagram Yudalid. That I have a tree right in the middle of the Tzuras HaPesach. So Shechter argued that that's okay, even though I can't use the Tzuras HaPesach in its entirety, As long as there is four tefachim to walk through, you know, that no one will build a Torah Sefesach there, but that's not considered to be Shiloka de Abdi Inchi. But going back to page two, last thing, is that because of this, Rav Schechter felt that you can't have a Tzuras HaPesach where one is very high and one is very low, you know, where the wire on top is going to be on an angle. So there was already an issue in the Panim Eros that the Magen Avraham quoted that you can't have it on an angle.
45 degrees.
Yeah, so Rabbi Eider's opinion is 45 degrees. And even that, Rav Schechter didn't even present the entire Rabbi Eider's position. That's only 45 degrees away from the following the natural ground level that's beneath it. So look over here. It's Yud Gimel, diagram Yud Gimel. Even if that would be greater than 45 degrees, Rabbi Eider would not have a problem with it because it follows the ground that's beneath it. Rav Schechter felt that that's totally untenable. You can't have a Tzuras HaPesach that looks like this. What the Magen Avraham meant to be Machshir, or the Rabbi Akiva Eiger, and the Panim Eiros was like that. That the Kana Agabeim was straight, and the Kana Min HaTzad was below it, even though it's not touching. So even as you're going up a hill, you have to do your best. We're not consistent with this. 187th Street is not so great. Yeah. But it has to be close to trying to maintain that the Tzuras HaPesach lower down on the hill should be taller than the Tzuras HaPesach, you know, than the Kana Min HaTzad that's higher, to at least try and do our best. Also down by, as we come up, we come back up. But we'll see it on the tour. There's another hill in our Erev, and the Tzuras HaPesach are along the hill. They're, you know, not great. It's not perfectly horizontal. But we should do our best to make sure that the Erev is as horizontal as possible, and to make sure that the Kanim Min HaTzad are straight. They shouldn't be bent over. That's not the Shalok D'Avdi Inchi. And if it's more than 45 degrees, even Rabbi Eider would say, you know, sometimes you have a pole of Erev that's bent like this. That's Shalok D'Avdi Inchi, and if it's more than 45 degrees, then it might even be a puzzle according to L'Chol Ades. So we should try and make a D'Avdi Inchi. All right, Chavashka. We hope for tomorrow, and then we hope to have a test.